jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big Sharkle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the Sharkle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. It's Friday. That means I've got a couple of friends with me here in studio just to talk about the news of the week as if there's been any. I mean, it's been a pretty quiet week, right? Don't you think? I mean, we don't have anything to talk about this week.
Statues. Yes. Oh, statues.
Afghanistan, Community Maritime Park. I mean, there's a little bit of stuff to talk about. Butch Hanson. What title do you want, Butch? With the Veterans Memorial Park Foundation?
Captain.
Captain Hanson. Okay, retired. All right. Husband of Lee Hanson, would that be the way to do it?
That's work.
A better honor.
I want to make you look as good as possible. And Alan Gray with Sesco Lighting. All right, gentlemen. So I was willing to just really we had one day of fun with the statue. It's hilarious. It's amazing. Mm. It's the kind of thing that you think, oh, thank God today I don't have to talk so much about Afghanistan, real stuff, or COVID, or all this. But then former Sheriff Morgan does a couple of interviews, and it's the story that kind of won't die a little bit. He pays $37,000 out of his own pocket. Why you pay $37,000 for something you don't think is a mistake is a little bit beyond me if you really don't think it's a mistake. But okay, thoughts, who wants to start?
I mean, so when I do my statue, Andrew, I'm trying to think of where I want to put it. I don't think I have a real good spot, so let's take some viewer input on where Alan Gray's statue goes. Holy cow.
Be careful now. Be careful.
Holy
now.
Cow. Janet, get the phones. They're going to be blowing up.
I got it. We need a statue of you that's like three times regular size. In the shape of like Atlas, you can hold up either side of the flyover above the roundabout.
That's it. But my head's got to be enlarged beyond my normal proportion. That's the only thing that
already
I think
was. Okay,
well,
Butch.
Well, my basic rule has been don't commission a statue of yourself, and I don't care who's paying for it.
Amen. It's a double foul. It's a double foul. It's a self-commission.
Exactly. Even like a self-portrait is kind of tacky. I mean, in the art world, it's like Van Gogh can get away with it, but that's about it, man.
Can I just tell you? Okay, so the company, quite against my desires, puts up billboards and now internet ads of me occasionally. Right,
we're running advertising. Yeah, you got some on my neck of the woods too.
I feel the most uncomfortable about this. I know it's normal. I know it's what you do.
I can help you. I can give you mustachios. I got spray paint in my truck, but man. We're doing it for marketing.
I would encourage the lawyers in town that think this is a cool thing to do to not do that, because it really turns me off
to see the picture of them.
To see these big pictures of
lawyers. I mean, but you work so hard. You go to those extra years of school, Butch. The bus is where you got to put your face. Put your face on the bus, man.
Yeah, well.
Or the park bench. Park bench face.
I just think, I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts, but I think most people that I know are kind of embarrassed about honors and awards, and you know, and then to have be like, I don't see what the problem is. It's just me.
Well, go to Award Masters. They actually will tell you people actually commissioned their own awards to be made at the award man. Ask them. It's true.
Stop it.
Okay, here's my question. Where does the statue go now?
Oh, well, yeah. So we had everything from put it out on, like, the reef in the bay or front on the Riskany, top of the water tower. Andy Marlette has a really interesting article about this today in the PNJ. A lot of other uses, probably it's going to get melted down. I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, he's bought it now, right?
Okay, so you've been a pioneer for the Chappie James stuff.
This is true.
Sheriff Simmons says melt it down and use the bronze to make the Chappie James statue.
Okay, I can't argue with that logic.
But, okay, here's... Do you want the Chappie James statue to have the Sheriff Morgan bronze making it up?
Okay, I don't think the bronze cares.
I don't think the bronze... No, the bronze has absolutely no concern for this. We go forward. Yes, Chappie bronze.
It'll save you a buck or two. All right, moving
Chappie
on.
Bronze.
Speaking of that part of downtown, the roundabout... I know for some people that's a trigger word, okay, but the roundabout, we've already got the one on Langley where there's been how many accidents,
there
Alan?
There are zero reported accidents with PPD. If you don't believe me, go ask and call them. How many accidents at Langley and Hilltop?
None. Zero. None. Yeah. There are actually a handful of roundabouts. There's that one in Gulf Breeze. There's also the one by the Pensacola State South Campus. They have a one on the north side I discovered not that long ago down on the peninsula. But, okay, so the roundabout is almost done.
Yep.
And the weird inner circle is a truck apron.
It's called an apron, yeah. So you can drag the trailer of a tractor-trailer rig inside the shorter diameter. If you ever drug anything behind your car, you know it has a different turn radius than you do.
Yeah.
So this is the way that we allow 18-wheelers to make that turn radius without hampering their ability to get through the intersection. That's all it is.
I asked the mayor this on Wednesday. He had what I thought was a fairly good answer. Why on earth are we crafting a roundabout to facilitate 18-wheelers for Graffiti Bridge being the only place they can go after the roundabout?
No, they can go plenty of places. They actually turn around and go back on the bridge and head back to Gulf Breeze if they made a wrong turn. That's the first chance they had in 3 miles to turn around. They can get onto Bayfront Parkway. They can do several different maneuvers from Bayfront Parkway.
They can't get on Bayfront from the roundabout.
Well, no, actually, you're right. You can't. But you can get from Bayfront back around maybe you're doing a drop at Bagelheads. There's several reasons where you would need a...
Fair enough.
You would need the truck apron to be in effect.
No, I think that's right. You need to build in that contingency.
Oh, to be sure. You want to build it low? Let's build it 10'6" like Graffiti Bridge again? You want to do that again? What are your what makes you happy,
Andrew?
What an
homage. That would have been funny. What do I need to do for you? Well, no, and the mayor kind of mentioned, he said, look, long term, you got to plan for what could happen. And something that could theoretically happen is Graffiti Bridge potentially could get solved, in which case you could have trucks going up 17th. Or, I mean, he didn't say it this way, but my interpretation is maybe in some future there isn't a Graffiti Bridge of the sort that it is.
Sure.
And these are all possibilities, and you don't want to limit what you could do with nearby roads because you built based on bad existing infrastructure.
Right. But I surely applaud the whole roundabout concept there. I think it's brilliant. There's plenty of other places in the city we could use them.
Yeah.
Devil's
Triangle?
Having traveled.
Yes.
Devil's Triangle. How about Barrancas and Garden in East Street?
Oh,
I mean, there's not a lot of places. In fact, in the state of New York, you have to show factually why a roundabout doesn't work when you're doing an intersection improvement, or you have to have the roundabout built.
It's
the opposite mindset.
Well, and it's, I know it's kind of a European thing in people's minds, or a South American thing, or an Asian thing. I mean, everybody else in the world does roundabouts except us. And yet, it's the kind of thing, the most common concern I've ever heard, especially when we're talking about the beach proposal, which still has not been done, obviously.
That's correct.
And may not now need to be done because it seems like we've solved those issues, fingers crossed. Anyway, is people say, well, we're too dumb to handle it.
I'm more optimistic for Floridians.
Me too.
Right? That makes no sense. We're unable to drive in that manner? No, that doesn't make... We're geographically restricted from being able to drive properly. That makes no sense. It's a terrible argument.
And let's talk about this for a second, because the issue with the roundabout is going to bring us over to Cervantes, which is ongoing now. And since you're a planner, Alan, you're familiar with all this. My understanding is that the whole point of a roundabout is you hate it. And because you hate it, you drive safely. And then you get through, and you don't have the waiting, obviously, of the traffic lights. That's the benefit from traffic flow. But nobody goes into a roundabout eager, but you drive slower, safer, because you're dealing with the inconvenience or the weirdness of it, which is the same thinking behind road diets and visual scapes when you're driving down roads, right?
Well, it depends on the stance of your vehicle, and if it's a European-made BMW, then you love roundabouts for a different reason. No, the word we use is you create an uncomfortable vehicular situation, and you do that to then pause and slow that vehicle down so that it operates and transmits itself through it and communicates it in a safe way, which is usually at a lower speed. That's all you're doing is you're making the vehicle feel uncomfortable.
It's the same reason like when you're driving down a busy street and there's sort of cars parked on both sides.
Yep.
And you're scared that some kid or a dog is going to run out in front of you, but you drive slower because you're heightened scared, basically. But that's effective for slowing traffic.
And visual friction.
What is that?
Those are the cues that tell your eye you're near something. When you go on a roller coaster, when it's big and open, you feel like you're going fast, but when it ducks you down underneath the other track and you see all the superstructure right near your face as you're going by, that's the added effect of visual friction. Your speed's the same, just about.
Okay.
5-10 miles difference. But when you go through and you can see things fast by your face whipping past, that tells you for sure I'm going way too fast.
The only negative thing I've seen recently in Sedona, Arizona, and have lots of roundabouts. I would say in one case...
Beautiful place, by the way.
In one case, too many because they were too close. And so when traffic backed up on one of the feeders, it affected... The other roundabout was only a block and a half away, and so you kind of had a gridlock situation there. But I think our planners can overcome that.
Yeah, no, and I still think it's just one of these things where once we get used to it, everybody, like, I've had this conversation with so many people. Pensacola, like every other human place, is a place that is not super eager to change.
No way.
And then once the change is here, everybody loves having the Wahoos.
The blue Wahoos. Rishi and I brought the blue Wahoos here.
For a couple of reasons.
You know, we talked about it in our home of Janesville, and we thought there was a possible use for the Blue Wahoos for Pensacola to make our city a little better for the community.
The only thing about this that's really throwing me off is you are way too tall to be Quint Studer.
Well, thank you,
but
Andrew.
That is a very impressive impression.
Thank you, Andrew.
We have the wrap here. I've got Butch Hanson and Alan Gray in the studio with me. It's a Friday on the Pensacola Morning News. Jenna, Butch, part of the reason I wanted to have you on as a retired captain, okay, U.S. Navy, I kind of wanted to get... I've been asking all my military friends, perspective on Afghanistan, and I'm getting a good solid earful from all of them. That wasn't your war, but I assume you have an opinion. I assume you have a take on this.
Oh, sure.
Because you are the person that I think of as being most connected with as many veterans and people who have obviously made the most sacrifice in our community. So your thoughts, I'll listen.
Well, I don't disagree that it was time to leave Afghanistan, probably overdue time to leave. However, there are non-combatant evacuation operation plans for every embassy, every place in the world. They're on the shelf. They're very carefully thought out. I've worked in the political military realm before. I know how that works. It's a shock to me that this plan or lack of a plan could be executed so poorly. Because I know the people that work on these things, it'll all eventually come out. But in my mind, any E3 could see that you don't close the airfield before you get the people out.
Yeah.
So the sequencing there, I mean, they may have been taken somewhat by surprise, but hey, I've got a son who's been in Afghanistan and Iraq. Anybody who's been there and had close contact with the people there, I think uniformly come back saying nation building is not going to happen. The concept of nation is about fifth on the average Afghani or Iraqi person's mind. It's family, it's tribe, it's religious sect, it's all those things. They don't recognize borders made by Westerners as a nation.
Iraq is, I mean, I think most Americans get the concept that in Iraq you really have three nations. And yet they were all, you know, sort of shoved together, and even the borders around those nations didn't make sense with Turkey and everything else. But then you go to Afghanistan and it's not three, it's, you know, 30. None of it makes any sense. But going back to what you said, it's interesting because you talked about the NEO, the non-combatant evacuation operation, which every embassy has a NEO plan. They have, and it's very detailed, and you game plan it, and you make the calls. And I was talking to some military friends of mine the other day, and they said the same thing. Their theory was, because there has to be one, because it is so well organized, they thought maybe the rapid yank out of all the military underneath that plan and the extraordinarily rapid invasion of the Taliban to every sector of Afghanistan, probably whatever NEO they had in place, those two key features were not considered, and that threw it all into chaos. Is that your thought, maybe?
No, not really. First of all, it's the wrong time of year to do it in Afghanistan. If you wanted to slow down the Afghanis, I mean, the roads are great this time of year. From October to March, they're not. They couldn't move that fast, probably. You throw on top of that, I mean, what I heard from the defense secretary or chairman yesterday, that, you know, there was a political number of troops allowed, a timeline that were there. They said our first priority was defend the embassy compound. We didn't have enough troops allowed to be in the country to keep the air base and the embassy. But how do you evacuate the embassy if you need to, if you don't have the air base? We're finding that out now.
Well, right.
So, and to say we don't know how many Americans we even need to get out of the country. Or
when Kirby said
people,
that yesterday, I couldn't believe it. We don't know how many there are?
Well, I mean,
I mean, even a ballpark, you know?
Yeah, I know that this thing has grown. There's lots of contractors. There's lots of people, lots of mercenaries, lots of people who may want to get out. But it was a political timeline instead of a coherent military operation, in my opinion.
Do you attribute it to malice or ignorance? What happened?
Incompetence.
Incompetence, possible.
I hope not malice. I think it's ignorance or I guess incompetence. But I don't know what they were told, but plenty of stories are coming out that there were plenty of warnings. I mean, I could see it for the last couple months.
Yeah.
As it's reported where the Taliban's moving, I'm saying this doesn't look good. And it never made any sense when they said we closed Bagram overnight without a turnover to the Afghanis.
Turnover, without a strategy.
If you wanted the Afghanis to be able to defend it, why did you just dump and run?
Right. You know, I saw a really interesting graphic. Of course, I can't share it on the radio because it's visual, but Long War Journal had a really interesting graphic that showed over time the progression over the last, since April. It's as clear as day.
Yep.
And, you know, you could hope maybe that the trained Afghan security forces would hold up, but that shows a tremendous ignorance of Afghan culture. And also, you're not even looking at the map because, as you said, you could see what was going to be
happening. But our forces over there knew the Afghani military was... They're
nothing.
Purely a mercenary group. Mm-hmm. They're being paid by the Americans. They knew once the Americans were gone, the paycheck stopped. In fact, the paychecks were already stopping because we were leaving, and the guys above were keeping it.
Yeah.
So,
hey, turning back to kind of local issues, just because there are so many of them. I know these are things that are near and dear to both of your interests. We've got Community Maritime Park has been a very big discussion, and also the skate park. Let's just do for 2 seconds. The skate park is now funded, and it's coming, and it's over budget, but it's okay because we're going to get it.
I love it.
Good.
Yeah, we need to have one.
And they don't. And they won't be skating at Veterans Memorial Park, which is
true.
That's right. Thank goodness. We'll take that too.
And that'll be good. And I hope it works.
I
think there's a reason there aren't commercial skate parks around.
Well, it's an amenity. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a revenue generator. It's a park. It's going to cost money.
I hope they factored in the tail. I mean, it costs this much to build it, but then you have to.
Now,
it's something
Butch,
that has
as,
to be
as a
sustained.
Budget analyst.
They never, even
here's,
the
here
Department
comes some
of
exciting
Defense.
Radio, folks. Let's talk about the budget.
No, but it's
and
so
long-term
true.
Expense ratios versus investment. Okay, here we go.
But it's true. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, in political discussions about projects, nobody brings up the cost over time.
Absolutely.
What it's, you know, okay,
you're
so the thing costs us $5 million today, and it's going to cost us $250,000. I'm not saying this about the park. I'm just as an example. You know, okay, what's the annual cost thereafter? Because you're buying a liability. It's going to cost you money. What's the liability? Give me a ballpark. So we know whether we have that in the budget next year, not just this $5 million this year.
I mean, what could go wrong with choosing the lowest bidder on a large municipal state-run contract? Mm. What could possibly go wrong?
You're talking about the sailfish sign? Or the 3 mile bridge,
or the Yahtzee, bingo. Here we go.
Oh my God. Can I tell you? I haven't followed municipal politics a lot since I came here. I mean, since I came here, I am. But I mean,
yeah,
like
you're
before.
A guru.
No, but I mean before that.
Okay.
I watch OLF8. I watch Community Maritime Park, and I'll tell you my takeaway is governments should not be doing this.
They're
just
not good landlords.
Period. Government should not be doing this.
Shouldn't play developer is what you're kind of saying?
Yes. We're terrible at it. It's always botched. Governments just shouldn't be doing this. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Okay. Let's take a break. 8:55 on. Even when it turns out well, it's not good.
It's not
bullseye.
8:55. Good.
There you go, Butch.
Hey. I didn't know if I'd get agreement on that, so I'm excited to do it. 8:55, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Jenna Barr has traffic on the fives.
Front gate of NES Pensacola not reporting any delays at the moment, as well as both of our bridges, Pensacola Bay Bridge and Garcon Point Bridge. All other roadways checking in clear. I'm Jenna Barr with your traffic on the fives.
So, I know I kind of dumped that on you, but you tell me where I'm wrong in this. It's one thing to have developers eager to do a thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to find a way to make a profit or not, or they won't do it. They're going to work within whatever land development code or whatever overlay or whatever bureaucracy. They already have enormous hoops to jump through.
Oh, you don't believe that, do you?
Well, I don't say work within. They'll find a way to get past the requirements.
Well, I tell my clients to try to find a way to live within the restrictions of those documents. But sometimes you need a variance, but sometimes you just don't care.
But the problem with the government developing the thing is that then you get all the way through all of that, let's say, and you got to convince a board of changing elected officials that a majority of them are going to be on your side for whatever it's crazy.
Developed by committee, it's just about as successful as designed by committee. It's really tough to succeed in that realm, and it's a good thing if we can get our mindset. The way that the ARB started out yesterday, I think a good friend of mine,
Architectural
Spencer,
Review Board.
Sorry, for the city of Pensacola, they have an architectural review board that helps design and dictate design restraints in downtown. It's a good functional board. We need them. They help us have predictability. They help us have a nice, gorgeous downtown.
Sure.
Okay. One of the discussions started out, and
they're the HOA for the city.
Let's not put that care in label. Don't
I know.
Put the care,
but
minus
you know,
the care
in a good
attitude.
Way. In okay. a good way. Go ahead.
And one of the members, which is a friend of ours, former councilman Brian Spencer, said basically, hey, can we just take a second here and just agree that we're not going to try to design this building for these people, but that we're going to look and see how it fits within the realms that we're allowed to dictate. Is this good? Do these boxes get checks, and can it then go forward? Again, I'm talking about the former school administration building
over
there on Garden Street. And again, the agreement was, let's not try to design this by committee. Like, can we at least do the one thing that we don't like when we have to come up in front of this board as architects and folks? Can we do that? And I thought it was a successful effort to understand the role of that board. And it is not to design by committee. It's not to develop by committee,
revolving committee. It's just meant to be experts, or at least informed citizens, taking a critical look to make sure that what's being brought forward by somebody else's design fits, right? I mean,
But I also look at it a different way, too, sometimes. And I'm bringing a project forth. I'm like, cool, I've got this famous architect, this accomplished architect. This is our $145 person an hour. That one's $210 an hour. And I'm getting them for free on my house. Mm. Let me hear about the muttons. Show me about the corbels. Tell me about my corbels. And I'm getting some really good stuff here on the city dime. I love it some ways for that reason.
I mean, I love the board as long as they're ruling based on the requirements that are put in front of them.
I agree.
And not on personal opinion. I mean, there's always going to be some subjectivity. However,
sure.
there have been, in
That's
my
why
opinion.
There's a board. Because well, you can't put well, a document together. Sure. You have to put a board.
However, I think some decisions have been made more just on personal desires than what
you mean,
the
like who's bringing the project forth. Oh, look, it's so.
But it is. But in fairness, it's hard. I mean,
oh, it is hard.
And it's hard for people who are passionate about what they do, and you give them a position of power. Mm-hmm. I mean, human nature. It's a temptation to be more in that direction. There's a reason that we ask judges, can you rule on the law, not what you believe? And it's a hard thing to get judges who are professionally trained in this, let alone average passionate citizens who are interested. You're going to run into these problems. I mean, they're human still. So, but I like that idea that you get their expert input. That's good. Well, we're totally out of time. It always goes so fast. Butch Hansen, Alan Gray, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in here. It was a pleasure to have you, and you know, you guys are always welcome.
Thanks, Andrew.
I loved it.
Very good. Jenna, have a great week off next week, and we'll be back on Monday. Thank you so much for listening. Have a fabulous weekend.